You have to hold on to the Word. The Word is your frame of references. The end game is reached by holding on to the Word of God.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, February 12th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is called The End Game, and our text comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So what is the end game? So I asked that question one time, and they said, which game? And I said, let's get an easy game, football, to make a touchdown. All right, so how do you get to do a touchdown? And then, well, I'm not going to get involved in the intricacies of the game, which I don't really understand or like anyway. But it required a lot of effort. And it's not just going into the field and, you know, passing and catching and running and tackling. And yet all of those things contribute to making the goal. So if I were to ask you on this Super Bowl Sunday, what is the end game in your life? Well, I suppose could be make it to heaven, right? I think that's a pretty good one. I've had several funerals this last week. I got a couple more coming up. Not that I'm predicting anybody here, but it happens. But what is the end game? Well, to live right with the Lord, to have a healthy Christian life, and it requires passes and tackles and training, and requires a team effort. So the reason I'm saying that is because I don't want it to be misunderstood when I write or speak on the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the end game is not for you to be filled with the Spirit, but to live for Christ. Amen. And you need to find ways in which you can live. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of those wonderful strategies that God gives you to live and to make it to the end game victoriously. But it's not one element. All the elements play together. So the end game is that I and you and I may be like Christ. Paul says, like Christ be formed in me, living for Christ and serving Christ. That's the end game. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2. I'd like for us to look at that this morning, because I like to address the area and the important thing of the good news, the elements of the good news, the construct of our faith, the issues that need to be clear in our minds and in our hearts. And Paul is always writing. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, we read the following. Now, brothers, I want to remind you. Oh, he's always reminding us, huh? Doesn't that, I better let it go. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. I was baffled by those words of Paul, because baffled in the right sense of the word. But how he continues to exhort us and to remind us of what we should know. But reminding us of what we're supposed to do is very important for you and for me. Because it's so easy for us to forget. So Paul reminds us. And he tells us that the gospel he preached to the Corinthians and the gospel you and I have received, it was not news that he invented. What he delivered to the Corinthians is not something that came out of his imagination. He preached the news of the gospel that included, and he was part of, a risen Lord, that Jesus had risen from the dead. That this was a major announcement, something that supersedes all others. This was serious stuff. And it's interesting to see what Paul gives us in verses 1 and 2 that we just read. A series of things about the good news and how it's important for us to remember in the days in which we're living. First, it was something that the Corinthians received. You and I need to know for sure that you and I have received something, and not something that someone invented, but it came directly from the Lord to you. It's not something that we invented ourselves. In a way, it's something that we did not even discover by ourselves. The gospel came to you and to me through the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction to your heart and to your mind. If you're in church today, it's because the Holy Spirit of God worked in your life and showed you that you needed Jesus in your life. It's not something that we cook up. It's not a pep rally. It's not something that you conjecture, that you put together artificially. No. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, something that you received. It was given to you. That's the function of the church, by the way. Somebody said that no man can have God as his father unless he has a church for his mother. Because the church is where you hear the good news. Cyprian said, there is no salvation outside the church. What it means is that the church is the vehicle by which the gospel is preached. And even more than that, listen carefully to this. You and I receive the good news within a fellowship. God calls you to be part of some group. You're not in isolation. You belong to the body of Christ. It's something that the Corinthians received. And Paul reminds me, that this is no invention of our own. It is something the Lord has done. Then something else. It says that is something in which the Corinthians stood. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. The very first function of the good news is to give you and me stability in life. If you and I stand today, it's because God gives us stability. How many know this is a slippery world? The gospel keeps us on our feet. How many know that this is a very tempting world? The gospel gave us a power to resist. But it's also a very hurting world. The gospel enables us to endure. The gospel of Jesus Christ is where the Corinthians stood, not in the manufactured good pep talks of the world, but on the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. You and I stand today because of God's grace, because the gospel is able to keep you, to sustain you. You stand tall and strong in the midst of the storms of life. Job 4:4 says, your words have kept men on their feet. That's exactly what the gospel does. When you are a Christian, when you are a believer, it keeps you in the straight and narrow. We'll talk a little bit more about the narrow. But it keeps you solid. It keeps you from falling or slipping. It gives you a place where you can stand. It goes on to say, by this gospel you are saved. But the way in which the word are saved is written in the Greek, it's present tense. It really means you're being saved. Because I know that one day I gave my heart to the Lord. How many remember the day you gave your heart to the Lord and said, Lord, come into my life? And you and I say, I was saved then. But what about last night? You think God doesn't know what you did? You sleepless sliders. Supposed to laugh at that one, but that's okay. We all do things that we need to be constantly being kept saved. And it's true, absolutely true. You're always being saved. You're saved from your past, But every single day of your life, you repent and you ask the Lord to help you to live the right life. Because salvation is not something which is ever completed in this world. You should grab that one. Not to justify your issues, but to encourage you to know that there is no such thing as a perfect Christian. The gospel tells you you're being saved. You were saved, you are saved, and you're being saved. It is never stopping. The Lord is always working in your life and in my life. Salvation goes from glory to glory. It's nothing completed just in this side of the world. You know, there are many things in your life and in my life that we can exhaust, you know. But the meaning of salvation, you can never exhaust it. Because it's always working for you. It's always there. So when I say to the Lord, Lord, save me today, I mean that. Not that I'm lost, not making it to heaven if I die, but that I need redeeming and redemption every single day of my life. Every single day of my life, I need to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And here we go again. So the Corinthians were able to stand, and they understood that they were being saved, that the issues that they had to handle today and the issues that they would possibly handle the next day are covered by the salvation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it says, by this gospel you're saved. He says, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Ah, you see, there may be a catch here. You have to hold on to it. You do. You have to hold on tenaciously. When the evil comes upon your life and temptation shakes you up and things go wrong, don't blame anybody. Just hold on to what God promised he would do in your life. He will save you. He will deliver you. Because every one of our issues can be redeemed and is redeemed by the Lord saving us. Life, people tell me, makes many attempts to take away our faith. I mean, things happen to you and to me that baffle our understanding. I was just listening briefly, to some comments being made on the social standing of our country and the issues that are going on, and this idea of identity crises that are going on, and gender reassignment, and little children, young kids not knowing, you know, with confusions and teachers meddling, and you know, you may not have ever lived in a totalitarian government. You may have never lived or experienced what it means to be ruled by people that you have no control over. But let me just tell you, Marxism has landed in our country and they're trying to destroy us. And this, all of that, and it baffles my understanding how it slipped in, but it slipped in. And things happen in our social gatherings that I just can't understand it. Yet it's there. And then personally, all of us have problems that in our life that we don't seem to have solutions for. And we have questions that there seem to be no definitive answers. And I think we can all agree that life has dark places where there seems to be nothing to hold on to. This is why Paul says, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, he says, you've believed in vain. You have to hold on to the word. The word is your frame of references. The end game is reached by holding on to the word of God. Not by able to understand everything that goes on, but by having faith that God will see you through, as the word says. So it's something that you can't just say, I'm a Christian, and then it's all forgotten. Because it's possible for faith to collapse when it has not been thought through, when it has not been held. Sometimes we have a superficial faith in our lives, and we tend to accept things because we're told, but we've never thought it through. But we have to ask God to help us, to show us how to live the life in the midst of this incredible, perverse, crooked, upside-down world. Well, there is a passage in Scripture in Matthew, and I'd like for us to go to that, Matthew chapter 13, because it speaks a lot about how the Word of God comes to people and how people process the Word of God. So if we can go to the screen, we can read it there. Then he told them many things in parables. This is Jesus saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not much have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are those eyes, because they see, and those ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to them, to what the parable of the sower means. Listen then to the parable. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Jesus gives a parable and talks to us as to how the Word impacts our lives, and more specifically, how the spoken Word depends on the harvest of that Word. When Paul tells the Corinthians, you've got to hold on to that Word. You have to understand the value of the Word. My challenge to you is, how are you receiving and hearing the Word? So, Jesus describes and warns those who hear the Word. They're those who hear the Word with shut minds. The people into whose minds the Word has no more chance of gaining entry than the seed of settling into the ground that has been beaten hard by many feet. Sometimes the Word of God comes out and God's Word goes into people's minds, and yet you shut it out. Sometimes prejudice will do it. Sometimes you just are blind to everything. Sometimes people have an unteachable spirit, and that can erect a barrier, cannot easily be broken. The problem of pride comes in, and you say, I'm not going to believe what the Word of God says. Or sometimes the need in the heart is that that truth is inconvenient to me. I'm not going to even think it through. Sometimes the truth, as people hear it, condemns the things that that individual loves. And sometimes the individual wants to live in their pity, self-pity, and they blame everybody and everything except themselves. They refuse to hear the Word of God that can correct and instruct and change and mold. That's why many people are blind, because they deliberately do not want to hear. Have you ever heard of the word, the statement, my way or the highway? And there are some of us who hear God's Word on areas of our life, and we simply close our minds and say, no. This is important to us. Then the hearers with minds, but with shallow ground. People who fail to think things out or think them through. A lot of people today are at the mercy of every craze, any kind of crazy thing that goes around. And they pick things up as quickly as they drop the other one. Always looking for a thrill. Always wanting to be in fashion without telling you who. But they're not coming to our church anymore, but they used to come to our church anymore. And then they began to tell me, did you know that the 666 is going to appear? And they gave me a date. Pulled down my glasses. I think I did. I don't know. I said, I have no idea who the 666 is. Oh, yeah. Well, Prophet so-and-so is saying. So 6 months went by, and the 666 did not appear. I guess it must have been the 555. Years have gone by, and this person approached me just recently and said, did you know who the Antichrist is? And they go from craze to craze, never, ever landing, never, ever, ever growing up, never understanding the rudiments of the faith, shallow ground. The Word just comes and it skids right out. And their lives are littered with things they begun and they never finish. Oh, God's called me here. This is what God wants me to be. Yeah, for 20 minutes, maybe. A couple of weeks, and then they fly away to the next one. You know, it's possible to be like that when God's Word comes to you. When you hear God's Word and you feel like God's saying things to you, and you make up your mind that you need to correct attitudes and correct behaviors, and you fill with emotion and you say, yes, Lord, do the work. But no one can live on an emotion. tried someday. See, we all have minds. I'm going to tell you something right now, which I hope you all catch. It's a moral obligation to have intelligent faith. I'll say it again. It's a moral obligation to have intelligent faith, because Christianity has demands, and the demands have to be accepted. They can be accepted, but before they can be accepted, they have to be faced. Again, the end game, you got to hear the word, and you have to process the word. You and I have an obligation to be thinking Christians. Well, the Christian, to be a Christian is not a great, shall I say, great privilege, but it's also a great responsibility. And sudden enthusiasms can always so quickly become a dying fire. We call it in Spanish, en Guatemala solamente, llamaradas de petate. You know what llamaradas de petate is? A petate is something that is used for sleeping or resting. It's like a carpet, and it's made of palm trees that are all dry. You throw a match at that, it makes a huge fire, and then it just withers away. Welcome to the llamarada de petate. And there's some Christians that a fire goes, and then disappear. The word is not making its impact, not because the word is faulty, but because the ground, the heart, rejects it. Then there are the hearers who have many interests in life, and often the most important things get crowded out. Life is a busy place. It's characteristic of modern life that it becomes increasingly crowded and increasingly fast. Gosh, it's just, I can't even begin to think how fast things are and how much things have changed. In writing something that's coming up, hopefully some at the end of some year, writing what it means to go back to your home country and then discover things. And I decided to go ahead and take that trip in my mind and writing about it. And I'm returning to a country in 1986. Do you know what we didn't have in 1986? You don't want to even know. Today, everybody communicates with a simple text message, instant. In those days, you had to write a letter, and you had to pray to God Almighty that the postal service would get it right. And somehow you had to pray that the stamp you put in there would be disguised with a seal, so that the people in Argentina, when they would receive that letter, would not think that there's money in there, and they would open it up to see what they can get. The other day, somebody sent an offering to the church, and they sent it via, what is that thing? It's a weird name. What is it? You send money instantly? The what? One of them. I'm still trying to get it out. See, everything is so fast, so instantaneous, we forget. If God doesn't answer me ahora mismo, then I look for something else. God doesn't work that way. God has his own speed, and we get lost. We become too busy to pray. Yeah. And I don't mean that because today was a Sunday prayer and some of you were not here. I'm not putting anybody down on that. It's up to you to come as the Lord leads you and as you come. But don't you dare be too busy to pray. And then we become so preoccupied with the things that are going around us that we forget to read or study the Word of God. And we can become involved in so many things at work. And we can have good wishes to do good things around, but we have no time for the Lord, who calls us to pray and who calls us to read his word. This is not a legalism. There's got to be a desire in your heart to go to the word and to read the word and to pray. I heard a preacher one time saying, the way that I discover whether I am keeping up or not with my commitment to follow God's lead is that I made up my mind that I was going to make an appointment to see him, and I don't want to miss the appointment. I said, I guess we all can make appointments, can't we? How many have an appointment tomorrow morning at work? Yeah, you don't want to hear about it, but you're going to be there. Make an appointment. A certain time of the day, I talk to the Lord. I read his word. But the hearers that have so many interests in life that possibly what's most important gets crowded up. And our work can take a hold of us that we're tired of thinking about anything else except our work. And it's a dangerous thing. Be careful. It's not that we banish prayer or reading of the word, but it's second place or third place. Just be aware of it. So you must be careful to see that Christ is not pushed into the sidelines of life. So brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you all received and in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you're saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So there's that fourth category that Jesus speaks about, and they're the people who are like the good earth or the good ground and their reception of the word. And their minds are open. And they're willing to learn. And they're prepared to hear. And they're never either too proud or too busy to listen. I'll give you those four again. Minds are open. Willing to learn. Prepared to hear. And never too proud or busy to listen. You know, it works like this. I try the best I can to read a chapter or two a day, at least a chapter. I do. I go into my study, and I'm following through. I've gone through the Psalms. Now I'm going through John 2-3 times, and now I'm going through the book of Mark. And it's something happens when you read the word. It's always been like that. It kind of like prepares you for what the day will give to you. And I don't know how it happens, but it's almost like God is in your life in ways in which you never dreamed he would. And he doesn't advertise it. He doesn't say, okay, remember this morning you read the word. Okay, now this is what I'm going to do for you. No. He just does it. I said, what happened? It was the Lord. Mysteriously, without making noise, God blesses your life. And it comes out of nowhere. It's like the wind. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. Nobody knows how it comes or where it goes. The Lord blesses you because you're in the Word. You're reading the Word. And you allow the Lord to work in your heart. To work in your life, and he blesses you. How many have been ambushed by the love of the Lord, huh? Amen. It's due to your faithfulness to the word, and maybe even better, to the faithfulness of God's word in your life. I honestly believe, as I conclude my morning session, many of us would have been saved or spared from all kinds of heartache. If we had simply stopped to listen to the voice of a wise friend, the Word of God. You read the Word, it's your friend. Jesus is your friend. Jesus is the living Word. And those of us who go to the Word and read the Word, even when we don't understand it all, he is there. I know somebody was making fun of, where do I start reading the Bible? And he says, I started to read the book of Matthew and all those genealogies, all the names of those people. Hey, I said, if your name would be there, wouldn't it be great? Yeah, but it's not, you know, but But I mean, just read the word with comprehension and understanding, and know that there are some things in the Bible that you will not be able to process or understand, but that they're for a reason or purpose, and it's time for you to study how all of that works out. But you've got to get into the word. So those of you who read the word, get this. You understand that he addresses issues in your life that are troublesome, but you're open to that. It speaks to you and says, "Hey, this has got to go." And you say, "I what? Yeah." And instantly you say, "What do I get in return?" He replaces your sorrow with joy. But is this joy, not the joy you want? And then, how magnanimous are we? You know, a grumpy Christian is a Christian who's not in the Word. How do you treat other people? What makes you think you are so right and everybody is so wrong? I guess I should quit, huh? I should quit 5 minutes ago. But I mean, these are the issues that the Word deals with you. It goes right into where you are, where you live. And it begins to show you. Not to condemn you, not to put you down, but to set you free. Some people say, "I am being harassed by demons." We'll cast them out. Don't worry about it. But some of you are harassed by stubbornness. And the only way that you can soften that is by allowing the Word of God to come into your heart. Again, the good ground, minds are open, willing to learn, prepared to hear, not proud or too busy to listen. So once you do that and you hear the word, then you're going to put that word into action in your life and you will be a completely different person. So what Paul is saying us in chapter 15 of Corinthians, he's telling you and he's telling me to let the word of God do the work. Otherwise, you believed in vain. Those are very strong words, huh? Si no quieres creer, ¿para qué? You've got to learn to receive and accept the word of God in your heart. And to all my friends in Facebook and wherever this is going, it's just as important for you as it is for all of us who have assembled here that we will allow the word of God to dictate terms and that we will be softened by God's word and that we will be obedient to God's word and that we will be willing to learn and not be so proud. May God have mercy on all of us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning. We thank you that Paul reminded us of the gospel that was preached to us. We thank you, Lord, that this gospel that came to us helps us to stand in the midst of affliction, stand in the world that is so slippery. We thank you, Lord, that this gospel is not done yet with us. We're still being saved. Lord, I pray that we will hold firmly to the word that we received. Find in our heart today, Lord, a heart that is good, good ground in the reception of the word. Help us, Lord. Open our minds. Help us, Lord. Cause us to be willing to learn. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to hear. Help us, Lord, not to be proud or too busy to listen. Oh, Lord, some of us have gone through heartbreaks. Some of us have gone through difficult times and things have been rough on our lives. Things have been done to us that have affected us. And inside of our hearts, there's resentment and anger. And with the eyes of the world, it can all be justified. But as we come to you, we ask that you would help us to believe your word and take away those that nastiness of a spirit that causes us to be too proud or too busy to listen to your word. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen, Lord.
Created me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me.
That's a great prayer.
Created me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
If you still think you're right and God is wrong, keep coming to church.
Amen.
Let the Lord soften your heart, because God is right.
Yes.
All right, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet each other in the love of the Lord, especially this lady right over here. All right.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.